As we prepare to turn our attention to the scriptures, I invite you to bow your head and join me in prayer. Living Jesus, you are the living word. And so we ask, speak to us now. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, may your presence be among us, dwell within us. May you soften our hearts to hear this word. I ask that you be with me, that these words would be transformed so that they're not my own, but yours. May only that which is of you enter into these thoughts and enter into our thoughts. Hear what you would help us to hear what you would grant us to hear, Lord. Sanctify our ears and pour out your blessings on this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. No surprises with the scripture on this resurrection morning. Yeah, that's as good as I got this morning. You can go ahead and laugh. Thanks. I feel a little bit better. I think I can carry on now. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. But suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, you would know that often when I prepare my sermons, I put a fair amount of time into thinking through different stories and analogies and things that have happened in my life that may relate to the scripture and to the message on this particular morning. And I really struggled with that this week, because what I kept thinking about was, like, this is unlike any movie. This is unlike any story. This is such an incredible scene. What has happened here is there's no other Jesus. Now, there are lots of stories, there are lots of movies where the hero looks to be dead or looks to be hurt or isn't going to be able to play in the last game or whatever it may be. But there is no other Jesus. I mean, this is the Messiah. This is a man that they were prepared to crown as king. This was the Lord. And this was their friend, their teacher, their mentor, the Savior of the world. Those who were closest to him had witnessed the healings, had witnessed the miracles, had seen him bring honor to people who earlier had been shamed. They witnessed him challenge the status quo, challenge the institute of religion, and speak more about relationships, reframing the law around a challenging and yet ever so simple commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as yourself. His life and ministry and teaching had instilled faith, had instilled hope in his followers, had brought meaning into their lives, and had given them a purpose. And on this morning, as these women journey out to go to the grave, the man that they've known and witnessed is dead. And everything that we've just mentioned and talked about died with Jesus that night on the cross. And so this journey to the tomb wasn't a joyous journey. It was a journey of grief, a journey of mourning. As Mary and Mary, as the day dawns, take this walk to see the tomb where we know they were going to go place spices with Jesus' body. And this would have been a somber, somber morning. I think sometimes we think back and like, oh, the birds would have been chirping, the flowers would have been blooming, it would have been a wonderful spring morning. Not unlike this morning. That's not, certainly not, the attitude they would have been had as they set out that morning. And then something begins to happen. We read in verse 2 that there's yet another one of these earthquakes. And I just love the fact that both at the crucifixion and the morning of the resurrection, the entire cosmos is responding to God's work. Something happening here is universal. All of creation knows and responds to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The angel descends, rolls away the stone, and sits on it, just like this is any other morning, with an appearance like lightning, clothed white as snow. And then there's the guards. People who had been commissioned to guard this tomb so that none of Jesus' followers could come and steal the body. A job they would have been given that would have cost them their life had they failed. Guards that were sent to protect the tomb, and upon the scene, this angel begin to shake. Like dead men, silenced and stilled. And I just love that humanity's attempt to interfere with God's divine plan has no chance. To the women, the angel says, "Do not be afraid. For I know you've come looking for Jesus who was crucified. Make no mistake, he was put to death. And he's not here. Make no mistake, he has been raised. Just as certain as he was dead, he now is alive." And it's almost as to say this angel understands these women are going to need some proof. They're not just going to be able to take my word for it as they go and spread this message. So he says, "Come, come and see. Look in the tomb. See where he lay." And then he gives them this message. "Go, tell the disciples he's been raised from the dead, he's going to Galilee, and you will see him there." And it says they left the tomb quickly, obedient in this call, holding together both fear and joy. They run to tell the disciples. And it's in verse 9 that I was just really struck this week, that I believe tells us so much about the person of Jesus Christ. For it's there that they have a personal encounter with Jesus. Suddenly Jesus meets these women as they run off, as they're heading to talk to the disciples. And it's translated, this word's translated greetings. It would be like us saying hi or hello or hey, or you're walking down and you're running down this path and Jesus just shows up and like, "Hey, what's up?" "Well, we're just going to tell the disciples that you are now alive." I get this picture that Jesus cannot wait to appear to them. That Jesus is just so excited, has so much energy about what has just happened, that he wants people to hear this good news so much that he can't wait to see these women. And so as they set out for this task, he surprises them. appears to them, so that now they know that everything they've just heard from the angel, they now witness for themselves with their very eyes. Now this message isn't just, we went to the tomb and he was gone, and this angel-looking guy appeared and told us, hey, don't worry about it. He's been raised for life. Go to get it. I mean, these disciples would have been looking at these women like, what are you talking about? And so Jesus appears to them and says, see for yourself. This message you've heard is true. And I believe there's incredible grace given to these women as well. I mean, think about this. In a culture where women so often would have been silenced, these women are given the privilege to see Jesus and to take this message and to speak it to the disciples. And now he's given them a first-person revelation. He's given him the authority to go and to share this good news. I also believe for them that this encounter moves this from the head to the heart. And isn't that what Jesus desires to do for each and every one of us? We have this knowledge. We've heard these stories. We've read the words. We know the message. There's a pretty good chance you knew what you were going to hear about when you came into church this morning. But Jesus has a desire to meet each and every one of us, to meet each and every one of you in such a personal way that all of a sudden this knowledge that you have of Christ can become this personal encounter that you can hold in your heart. And it changes everything. Just a few points about this is we really reflect on just the last two verses of that passage. This requires a response. When Jesus comes and desires to meet with us with this personal encounter, it requires a response. And look how the women responded. They came to him. They took hold of his feet, which means they had to have bowed down. They had to have come to Jesus, fallen and bowed down at his feet, grabbed a hold of him. And then it says, and they worshiped him. They did everything that their heart told them to do. This is Jesus, the Messiah, who was dead 3 days ago, and now he's alive. Our Lord, our Savior, our friend is here. And out of an explosion of their heart, out of an explosion of their love, they run to him, bow at his feet, grab a hold, worship him. They do what was fitting and proper for them to do. And then he tells them, do not be afraid. And I believe at that moment, that mixture of fear and joy that they were holding, all of a sudden, at Jesus' feet, that fear begins to subside. And what we see in them is just this response of pure joy. Pure love. But the idea isn't that they're just going to all stay here and worship. No, the second point is that he then reinforces community. He reinforces community. Yes, he desires that each of us would have a personal encounter, but that personal encounter isn't just so each of us, so that you and I can have this wonderful personal relationship with Jesus that we live out on our own, isolated from others. No, Jesus meets us and then draws us to community. Because you have to have community to give a testimony. These women have a story to tell. What good would it be to have a story to tell if you didn't have someone to tell it to? Now, I know some of you, you tell stories to yourselves throughout the day over and over. And you listen to yourselves as well. But isn't it so much better when we can tell it to someone else? And they can listen and they can respond. It's as if they're going to tell disciples, Jesus is back and we're in this together. We get to do this together. He says, tell them brothers. He calls them brothers in this passage, the intimacy there. I mean, and all of these brothers had just, in one way or another, turned their back on him in the moment of his greatest need. And yet when he appears to Mary and Mary, he says, go, tell my brothers. such love, such grace, such mercy, such forgiveness. You realize in this moment the message that comes to you and I, that no matter how often and in what ways we too have turned our backs on Jesus, no matter how we've denied him with our lives, the risen Jesus comes to us and seeks to offer forgiveness, calling us brothers and sisters, inviting us to come. And then the third point there in regards to reinforcing community is that it will be the community that now takes on the mission of Christ. Last week, we were looking at John chapter 12, and we pointed to that passage where it says, unless a seed dies, it will not bear fruit. Well, we begin now to see the fruit of Christ's death. Even now, as he invites the disciples, as he invites the church to now take part in this mission, we see an immediate multiplication of Jesus' ministry. He's not saying, hey, I'm alive, so guess what? I'm going to go do what I've always been doing, and I'm going to take care of this. No, he says, I'm alive. Now go tell the brothers, meet me in Galilee. And that's the third point. Jesus renews the mission. He tells them to get to Galilee. It's like, rally the troops. The game's still on. It's not over yet. We got work to do. And then just after this, in this passage, is when we hear the Great Commission. Go, make disciples. Like, there's work to be done. I am alive. Let's get back to it. You now have restored in you your life and your life with a purpose. It changes everything for us. That Jesus is living renews and restores the purpose of your life and mine. Because there's a mission at hand that's not yet accomplished. And Jesus calls us, the community of faith, to take on that mission. So what gets in the way? How can we leave here this morning and step into that role? Go and give testimony to the reality that Jesus is alive, at work, calling us to take part and participate. Well, over the last several weeks, we've been working our way through this book, The Essential Practices of the Faith. We've been learning specific tools to help us address specific issues that come up in our lives. We've been learning how to forgive people that hurt us so that we don't hold on to hatred and anger and bitterness. We've been learning how to praise God when things go wrong in our lives. We've been learning how to lament, to give God our emotions over the deep losses and pain in our life. We've been learning how to relinquish or let go of our fears and anxieties. Now, all of these tools and all of this has been, yes, to help restore our relationship with the Lord. Yes, to help us have a healthier relationship within ourselves, to be in a healthier emotional state. And yes, to help us restore our relationships with one another. But this also helps us restore our relationship to the mission that we've been given. You see, Satan is destroyed over this weekend when Jesus dies on the cross and then is raised from the dead. But Satan doesn't give up on his work either. And the thing that I believe Satan wants most is to distract each and every one of us with all of this stuff of life, to distract us from the purpose, to keep us from keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. And so he throws all of this stuff at us to help get us off course. And yet Jesus comes, the living Jesus, and says, no, I will bring healing. I will restore. I will renew. We're in this together. By me coming back from the dead, I am assuring you, I am promising you, there is nothing in this life that together we cannot and will not overcome. Resurrection Sunday reminds us that Jesus has, is, and will conquer all things. That death itself, our final enemy, has been overcome, has been destroyed, and there is nothing that Jesus can't provide for us in this life and the next. There is nothing holding us back from being used by God, from participating in God's ongoing mission on earth. Jesus told us, I've come to give you life and life to the fullness. And the resurrection is his seal and promise, seal to that promise, that the life he's come to give us is ours to receive. That in the midst of the pains, in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the trials of this life, the risen Jesus is here to meet us. The challenges of this morning that came up in your house as you were trying to get to this place, in the midst of that, Jesus is alive and present. And the challenges that come up here in this place as we prepare for worship and a bulb goes out on the projector and certain parts of the music aren't coming together quite right, guess what? Jesus is alive and is in the midst of it. And the challenges that face us when we leave this place today, try to put together a lunch so our family can have a joyful occasion of being together. Guess what? In the midst of the challenge of that, Jesus is alive and present. And all the challenges life has to bring us, Jesus is alive and present and wants to meet us in real personal ways. Now, I don't know where each of you are at. I don't know where your hearts are this morning, but I know this, Jesus desires to meet you here in this place. Perhaps some of you have never given your heart to the Lord, have never said to Jesus, come, take over, take control. I desire my life to be wrapped into yours. Come, Jesus. Perhaps this morning's an opportunity for you to do that. To say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. Perhaps some of us are just getting wrapped up in those struggles and just need an opportunity to refocus ourselves, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to allow that living Jesus to come and touch us in the midst of the struggle. Perhaps we just need a few moments to open our hearts to that touch from the Lord. Perhaps some of us have a very clear picture of the challenge that awaits us, be it today, be it tomorrow, be it in the months ahead. Jesus has a desire to walk with you into that challenge. Perhaps this morning we can take a few moments to just ask him to come, be with us, walk alongside us, fulfill the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Whatever it be this morning, the risen Jesus desires to meet you here in this place. And so we're just going to take a few moments of silent reflection, an opportunity, an invitation for you to pray. And whatever the desires are in your heart, I simply encourage you to spend a few moments in prayer, asking the living Jesus to meet you here in this place in a very personal way. Let us pray. Father God, in the powerful name of Jesus and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we request that you send your Spirit upon us in a special way in this moment, that our hearts might be opened to your presence, that you would raise our awareness of your love, your grace, your mercy, and your desire to come to us here this morning and meet us in a personal way. Lord, whatever the desires of the hearts are that have formed these prayers that have come before you in these few minutes, Lord, I ask that you meet each of these brothers and sisters in a unique and special way, fitting for just them, that they might feel the touch of their loving Savior. and be strengthened and encouraged by the love that you have for them. For you do love us deeply, Lord, more deeply than we can imagine. And we thank you for that. And we thank you that that promise is solidified on this Sunday morning as we reflect upon your resurrection, Jesus. May your life continue to meet us and inspire us and encourage us and strengthen us. May we find all that we need in you and you alone. Lord, for the various needs that are represented here, Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for health. We pray for hope. And we mostly, Lord, pray for your loving presence. Meet us in this place, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.